My sermon this morning, the title is True Worship, based on Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We have read the word of God from Revelation 4, 1 to 11. So, I'd like to start my sermon this morning by telling you a story. There is an imaginary story of a man who was taken by an angel one Sunday to explore the town where he lived. First, the man was shown a church where a worship service was going on. He saw the people sing, give money for offering, listen to some testimonies and a sermon. But the man noticed something unusual with the church. Two sleepy demons were watching reluctantly from the roof of the church. Two sleepy demons. Before he had the chance to ask the question, the man was taken by the angel to another church. At the second church, the man saw the same thing. People having a Sunday service just like the first church. But he noticed something different here. The man noticed that there were a legion of demons, thousands of demons with complete weapons watching the church, and they were all trembling. The man asked the angel, "What does the vision mean?" The angel explained to him, "You saw at the first church that there were only two demons watching. Do you know why? Because the Christian at the church, they sang, they prayed, they gave offering and listened to a sermon, but their hearts were far from worshiping God. They did everything out of formality and simply because of tradition. The demons were not afraid of those kind of Christians because they knew that one temptation was enough to trap them into sin. But the second church was different. Christians in that church praised God with all their hearts. When they prayed wholeheartedly. When they listened to the sermon, they listened wholeheartedly. They didn't do any of those out of tradition or just routine. They worshipped with a heart that honored God. The demons were afraid of this kind of Christians. That was why they were fully armed and trembling. Church, although this might just be an imaginary story, what would our church be like? What would the church here, WBC Redeemer, be like? The first or the second one? Like the first church or the second church? Do we make the demons sleepy? Or do we make them tremble? The story reminds us that there are true and false worshippers. True worship scares the demons away. It's worship that we do out of the heart that honors God, and not simply out of routine. Now let us find out from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. What does worship that honors God mean? What is true worship like? Firstly, true worship is God-centered worship. True worship is firstly God-centered worship. True worship is worship that has God at the center. Not the music, not the singer, not the programs, not even the preacher. Revelation chapter 4 tells us about a vision that the Apostle John had when he was taken to heaven. The last part of verse 2 notes that John sees a throne with one seated on the throne. That one who is seated on the throne is God himself. God who is seated on the throne is surrounded by 24 elders. Many Bible commentators believe that the 24 elders are symbols of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles in the New Testament. They represent all believers in all places and at all times. They all are worshiping God. God become the center of their worship. Verses 6 to 8 says that God, who sits on the throne, is also surrounded by four living creatures covered with eyes. What does this mean? The first living creature is like a lion. The lion is the mightiest among wild animals. The second living creature is like an ox. The ox is the strongest animal among livestock. The third living creature has a face like a man. Man is the noblest creature among God's creation. The fourth living creature is like an eagle. The eagle is the bravest animal among the birds. These four living creatures tell us that all creatures in heaven worship God. God is surrounded by these creatures. This shows that God is in the center of their worship. God should be the center of our worship too. It's also interesting to note that Revelation chapter 4 also says that God, who sits on the throne, who is described as the glorious God, is mentioned surrounded by a rainbow, Verse 3 says, around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. The rainbow is one of the signs of God's covenant of grace with man that God gave to mankind through Noah. God's covenant of grace has been fulfilled through Christ, who saved us from sin. This depiction shows that the most glorious God, who becomes the center of our worship, is the God who saved us. This truth should encourage us to worship God with joy and thanksgiving and not in fear. Both in our worship at church and in our individual worship, we should worship Him with thanksgiving, not just on Sunday, but also in our daily lives. We should live with joy and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Some time ago, I visited a man who had been coming to the Indonesian WBC Bull Creek service a couple of times. From our conversation, I learned that before he came to Australia, he has already actively involved in a church in Indonesia, where he became a member. Knowing that he used to be an activist at his church, I encourage him to think about getting involved in ministry in our church. I was hoping that maybe someday he would be one of the leaders. But his response was quite interesting. He said to me, "Pastor Paulus, when I eat at a restaurant, I don't want to see the kitchen of that restaurant. I'm afraid if I see the kitchen and notice, for example, that the chef doesn't wash his hands before he cooks, I won't be able to enjoy the food that I order. If I don't see the kitchen, even if the chef doesn't wash his hands before preparing the food, then I will still be able to enjoy the food." "It's no different with the church," he said. "I will just go to church and attend the worship service once a week. I don't want to get involved in ministry. Otherwise, I'll see the inside, the kitchen, or the problems of the church. That way, I will always enjoy going to the church. It's better off for me not to see things that I don't want to see at church. To tell you the truth, I didn't know how to respond to what he said. If you were me, what would you say? At that moment, I prayed in my heart and asked God to give me wisdom to answer him. And after that, I replied to him, "If I may ask, every time we go to church to worship and do ministry, what is our purpose? What is our focus? Is it for us or for God? Don't we go to church and serve because Jesus has died to save us? I believe is Jesus at the center of our worship and ministry, then we will be willing to do things for God in spite of all the challenges that we have to face at the church. No church is perfect, but that's not supposed to stop us from getting involved in the church. So I hope that you would be willing to take and pray about this," I said to this man. Thankfully, about 2 weeks later, the man came back to me and said that he realized he was wrong. A question for all of you here this morning. Does God, who has saved us through Jesus Christ, become the center of our worship and our church activities? If we place God at the center of our worship and all our church activities, then we will have strength to face any difficulties in living together as a community of believers. True worship is worship where we place God, who has saved us through Christ, at the center of our worship service, church activities, and in our daily lives. Furthermore, based on Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, worship that honors God means, or true worship means, worshiping Him continuously. Worshiping Him continuously. True worship is not only placing God at the center of our worship, but it is also worshiping Him continuously. Verse 8 says that all the living creatures in heaven, Revelation 4 verse 8, day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The words or the sentence, "day and night they never cease to say," show that worship is something that we must do continuously without end. We have to worship God continuously and unceasingly because God is an eternal God. Verses 9 and 10 say, "The living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders worship Him who lives forever and ever." Even though the book of Revelation shows that this worship, continuous worship God, happened in heaven, it is this kind of worship that is the true worship. And for us on earth, this means that we have to practice continuous worship to God who has saved us through Jesus Christ. Worshiping God continuously doesn't just mean we occasionally worship God on Sunday at the church, but every Sunday. Worshipping God continuously doesn't just mean we worship God every Sunday at the church, but we also worship Him in our daily lives, including when we work and when we obey the word. Worshipping God continuously doesn't just mean we worship Him in corporate worship like now, but we also worship Him in our personal devotion when we read the Bible and pray at home. Practicing this continuous worship to God is really important for our spiritual life, for maintaining our relationship with God. If we do not worship God continuously, then our relationship with Him might become stale, dry, and empty. We can use the relationship between husband and wife as an analogy. Once there was a seminar for married women. The theme was how to establish a loving relationship with your spouse. Hundreds of women attended the seminar. Most of them had been married for more than 15 years. The speaker of the seminar, who was also a woman, asked them, "Who among you wives love your husbands?" All the women raised their hands. The speaker asked the next question, "When was the last time you all said, 'I love you,' to your husband?" Some women answered, "Just this morning." Others said, "Yesterday." But most of them said that they forgot when the last time they said, "I love you," to their husbands. The speaker then asked them to get their mobile phones and send text messages to their husbands. The message they had to type was, "I love you," only that word, "I love you," nothing else. After they sent the text messages, a few minutes later, the speaker asked them to see their phones to read the replies from their husbands. The five highest responses were as follows. Number 5, "Honey, are you okay?" Number 4, "What's up? Did you back into the fence again?" Number 3, "Explanation needed. Did you mean to send this message to me or to someone else?" Number 2, "Didn't I tell you? Please stop drinking." And the highest response was, "Sorry, who is this?" The story reminds us that if we ignore or do not build our relationship with our spouse continuously, then even our expression of love will feel empty, meaningless, and questionable. The same thing happens with our spiritual life. If we do not worship God continuously, if we do not maintain our relationship with Him, we might feel that our spiritual expressions feel empty and meaningless. The Bible says that as believers, we are the bride of Christ. Therefore, we must always establish loving relationship with Christ on a daily basis through worship, so that our relationship won't dry out, but instead will become stronger and meaningful. Let us be faithful not only in our weekly Sunday service, but also in our personal devotion to God and in our daily obedience to Him as our worship to God. Next, what does true worship mean according to Revelation 4, 1 to 11. Not only does God have to be the center of our worship and continuously worship Him, but true worship also means that we worship Him with satisfaction in Him. Satisfaction in Him. The last part of verse 10 says, they cast their crowns before the throne. This is an expression that tells us that they are satisfied for having God more than they are with their own glory. This expression also tells us that they admit the full authority of God over their lives. Their satisfaction with God can be clearly seen through the following words in verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This is a confession that God is perfect. He created all things according to His will. God never makes mistakes in what He has done in history. He is sovereign. This truth is very important for the original readers of the book of Revelation, who at that time were undergoing persecutions. Many of them were killed. Some even had to suffer terrible death. To these people, people who suffered many persecutions, Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 to 11 was written. It was intended to keep them strong as Christians. It reminds them that God knows what He is doing. God is in control of this life. Our hearts must be filled with satisfaction because of God, and not because we look at the situation around us. He is God, and He is sovereign God. He knows everything, and He directs our lives. There was a story of a husband and a wife who longed to have a child. After waiting for more than 11 years of marriage, their longing was answered. As devoted believers, knowing that God had answered their prayer, they were motivated to tell to other people the miracles that happened in their life. They told many people how God was love and that He answered their prayers. But in the third month of the wife's pregnancy, she felt pain in her belly, had a high temperature, and suffered a bleeding, and was brought to the hospital emergency room. After hours of examinations, ultrasounds, and injections, the doctor finally broke the news to the wife that their baby didn't make it. She was completely devastated. Her hope of holding her own child was gone. The couple lived in sadness for quite some time. They had a hard time to accept their loss. There was an anger towards God in their hearts. There was a question in their hearts why the powerful God did not save their baby. Because of this painful experience, they drew away from the church and eventually stopped going. One day, they had a conversation with a little girl. From their conversation, the couple learned that the little girl just had lost her little brother to leukemia. In the midst of their conversation, the little girl said to them, "Do you know, Uncle and Auntie, when my brother was in pain, nobody could help him ease the pain. Jesus came to hold him. And because Jesus loved my little brother so much, he took my brother with him to heaven. I believe one day I will meet him again in heaven. The husband and the wife were surprised and speechless. The words of that little girl touched their hearts. They were amazed by the faith that the little girl had. They never thought about God the way that the little girl saw God. God was not bad at all. He was good. God was in control of this life. When God does something, even if it looks horrible to us, he has a reason. From that conversation, the couple began to change their perspective about God and about what happened in their life. They began to feel how God loved them, and they began to attend the church again. They came back to worship God because now their hearts knew the truth of who God is. In spite of their circumstances, their hearts are to be satisfied with God. Church, what are you now struggling with in your life? Whatever struggle that we may have, remember that the God whom we know through Jesus Christ is the God who is in control of our lives. He is always good. Let us always put our faith in him and learn to be satisfied in who he is, regardless of our life situations, so that we may be strong as we face any troubles in this life, and that we may always worship him with a heart that honors him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This morning we have learned about the true worship. Worship that we do out of the heart that honors you. So Lord, help and guide us to place you, the God who saved us through Jesus Christ, as the center of our worship. And Lord, help us to worship you continuously without end, so our relationship with you may become stronger and stronger and meaningful. Lord, lead us to always put our faith in you and learn to be satisfied in who you are, regardless of our life situations, so that we may always worship you with a heart that honors you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen.